just finish up James 5, which we already did. I'll just give you a couple of scriptures in regard to some of these, on the one on healing and the other one having to do with going to your brother. Talk about those. And then after I do that, I'd like to just summarize the book. And then once I summarize the book, I want to give you a quiz. And it'll just to be see how much you picked up from it. And these will be actual questions taken from questions that I have given out in the past. So I think you'll be able to do quite well. I'm not going to take your quiz. I'll let you see how much you learned from it, so you can grade it yourself here in class. No notes. This will just be based on what you have picked up in class. Okay, they will be multiple choice. All right, let's go to the book of James chapter 5. There were a couple of really important areas here that we just touched on last time, and for those out in tape land, you'll be able to pick this up too, and also you'll be able to take the quiz out there as well. See how much you learned at this time. James chapter 5. James chapter 5 and verse 14, he says, "Is any sick among you, let him call for the elders of the church. Let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord." And you can find that not only do you use oil, but you also lay hands on. So it is a process. You call for the elders. Some people make a lot over, you call on elders. So there should be more than one doing it. And typically, if I'm in a church area and there's an elder and we're on anointing duty, you almost have two of us on anointing duty. But it doesn't really mean you have to have two. Okay, elders, let them anoint you being masses, not just one person. So you call for the elders as a general thing. You call an elder, and the elder will take care of your situation. When should you call? When should you call? When you're sick. That's all I can say. If I get a sniffle, I don't consider I'm sick. But if I'm starting to have my life impaired, then I should probably call for an anointing. Now, in the Catholic Church and in some of the other churches that sprung off from them, basically the only time you're anointed is when you're about to die. So it's for serious sickness, like you had cancer, you broke your arm, you broke your, you know, something really serious. They may, and that might not even be if you broke your arm, but something serious. You have pneumonia, you have this or you have that. If those are the situations that you find yourself in, then they would anoint you. But most of them, that is just to comfort you and get you ready to die, or to get you ready to face death. We don't do that. But on the other hand, we must be careful that we don't trivialize anointing to the place that I cut my finger, would you please anoint me? I have a hangnail, would you please anoint me? I think I'm going to get a cold, would you please anoint me? We don't have preventative anointing, you know, would you please anoint me so I don't get a cold? We don't have that. So you want to be wise when you consider the anointing situation. And you don't, because we are asking God in the name of Jesus Christ to heal you. So we don't want to be taking Christ's name in vain. Let's say, for instance, what I might be anointed for, you might not. What you might be anointed for, I might not. In other words, it's the degree. I may have my head may be stuffed up. Okay, I may have a consinus. And I feel I can tough that through, and it's no big deal. But for you, that might put you in excruciating pain to you. Remember, everybody's threshold of pain is different. And when you come, I don't judge your threshold of pain. You say, "Wow, I've got a really bad cold. Would you please anoint me?" And I'm going to say, "Huh, well, I have a cold like that. I just tough it out." No, it's up based on you. And some people come and say, "Well, can I be anointed for this?" Well, if you're hurting sufficiently. Talk about it being a dis-ease. Is any sick among you? If it is a dis-ease, if it impairs your normal activity, yes. But I've had other people have me anoint them, and at the same time they were planning to go do everything they would normally do in life. Okay, then you want to say, "Well, wait a minute now, why do you need to be anointed if this is the case?" So I trust you if you come to ask me for anointing, unless it's trivial and silly, like I have a hangnail, or, you know, I have a little scrape on my finger, would you please anoint me? I would probably say, well, you sure you need to be anointed here? Let me put a Band-Aid on it. But and other people want to be anointed, and they don't know what's wrong with them, so sometimes going to a doctor. Now, in times past, people felt like if you go to a doctor, that keeps God from healing. The only way it would keep God from healing is if you believe the doctor is like God and put him in the place of God. But scriptures, there are many scriptures that, for instance, you find people helping. In the Old Testament, they were encouraged to put poultices on when a person was afflicted. Exodus 21, verses 18 and 19 talks about you shall cause this person to be healed. So Exodus 21, verses 18 and 19, you see that people could help themselves. You have the example of the Good Samaritan. What did he do? He put wine, which was a cleansing, and he put oil in this on this person's wounds. You're okay. It's okay to help somebody. It's okay to do something for them. In fact, Jesus Christ made the statement, Matthew 9, verse 12, he that is whole does not need a physician. He that is whole doesn't need a physician. If you're healthy, you don't need a physician, so why would he have even said that? If you could not use a physician. So many times we say, well, you're just using an expression. But it is okay. It is okay to be anointed. And it is okay to go to a doctor and also be anointed. And I say this, if there's a doctor in this world that can keep God from healing you, then we're worshiping the wrong God. Kevin. Exodus 21, verses 18 and 19. Matthew 9, verse 12 is the scripture that talks about it. And there are several scriptures. Acts 19, verses 11 and 12 is the principle of the anointed cloth. Mark 5, verses 35 to 42 shows that a parent can have faith for their children when they're too young to have faith for themselves. So in Mark 5 verses 35 to 42, we see parents who exercise faith on behalf of their children. Now, what our world does not allow, it does not allow you to make life and death decisions for anybody else but you. So if you're lying there and you don't want anybody to give you any treatment for cancer and you want to die, let yourself die, or God heal me or die. That's your choice. But when you make that for your kid, no, don't touch my kid, he's dying, but don't touch him. Then they say, wait a minute now. But as far as having faith for your children, you have that obligation and responsibility. And Mark 5, verses 35 to 42 gives that indication. Now we know in the scriptures, that God can heal. Hezekiah turned to God. We know the example in Matthew where the woman came and had an issue of blood for many years. She had been treated by doctors and everybody else, and nobody could do it. She touched Jesus Christ and she was healed. God can heal. God can do what medical men can't. And any true healing comes from God. And many people in the midst of being treated by doctors have been healed. And many people have been healed with doctors attending them. The biggest thing is our attitude. If I believe orange juice will heal me, boy, when I get sick, you know what I do? I just drink a gallon of orange juice. And when I drink this gallon of orange juice, this orange juice saves me. Or when I get sick, I take mega doses of vitamin C. My vitamin C saves me. Now, if you look to your vitamin C or you look to your mega gallon of orange juice as your savior, then you're putting your thought and your trust in the wrong direction. Anyone, anything, any vitamin, any condition, we look to for our healing instead of God, is wrong. Does that mean I don't drink orange juice when I get sick? Yes, I drink orange juice. Does that mean I don't take extra vitamins? Yes, I do, but I don't look to them. And I think the principle regarding medical profession, nurse, chiropractor, reflexologist, or whoever else you might go to, some naturopath, some iridologist that looks in your eyes and says, your eyes look awful strange. Let me see, you've got this, this, and this. And other people who say, you touch their arms and you know, and they bring food near you and you lift your arm up, or you don't lift your arm up, or they say you're weak, this is a weakness, and everybody's got an allergy about something. And I trust me, we did tests on every one of you in this room, everybody would be allergic to a lot of things. And you know what your life would be like? As one man came to me, and he was allergic to so many things. He was paranoid about everything he ate. Can't eat this, I can't eat that. I said, you know what? This is destroying your life. You weren't bad before. So you have a sniffle or two because you eat this. What's worse, to have a sniffle or two because your body has a reaction, or spend the rest of your life being so worried about everything you eat? To me, you're worse off knowing you have that allergy. Another girl had somebody tell her she was allergic to eggs. So she didn't eat eggs for many years. Finally, she went to a doctor who did a complete test on her, not just looking in her eyes or touching her skin or whatever. Found out she wasn't allergic to eggs at all. She had other allergies that she checked out. Now, if allergies are affecting your body severely, then you need to check them out. But I tell you right now, every one of us is allergic to something sitting in this room. Everybody is. But you know what? Most of us eat some of those items and we're fine. We may have a sniffle, we may have a little bit of a rash or whatever. So I just try to encourage you to trust in God, okay? To look to Him. And that doesn't mean you don't use other means. Look to God. Be careful, and I'll tell you, in the early days, we said anybody who was out of line with the medical profession was the person you went to. So we looked for the person that the medical profession was ready to kick out. The person who was the odd person, and sometimes was, basically, had his medical license taken away. We said, there's the guy to go to. Now, you know what? When you have your license taken away, there's usually a good reason for it. And we looked for the people that would never try to tell us anything in times past. And I tell you, you want to get the best you can get when you're struggling with illnesses. And you don't want to go halfway. You want to go all the way. But you don't want to put them in the place of God. You can ask God for anointing, and you can still avail yourself. Because what did we find in James 2? Is it faith without works, or is it faith with works? Are we supposed to do the best we can do with what we have to do with? Yes. Does a doctor keep God from healing you? Absolutely not. If he can, except if you trust in him before God. And if you trust in him instead of God, yes, doctor, yes, doctor, yes, doctor. Well, eat this, yes, doctor, yes, doctor. You know, you ask him questions. Why should I do that? Tell me what the risks are. What are the circumstances? What is the situation? So I'm encouraging you, okay, faith with works, not faith without. And let's go to another scripture then. I want to move on from here. The prayer of faith, he says, shall save the sick. And again, your faith is involved in it. Do you trust that God can do it? I know God can do anything. I know God can do anything. I've seen him do anything, but he doesn't always. And I can't make him. So again, trusting in God, having faith in him, but also doing what you can to avail. Now, we want to also go back to verse 16. He talks about the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Don't discount the value of your prayer. Don't discount the value of your prayer. Because maybe on any given day, you are the one righteous person whose prayers are heard by God. Maybe your prayer is the one righteous one. Don't discount that. And God says it's fervent. It means your heart is in it. Not just a casual, sleepy time, oh, woe is me type, or ho-hum type prayer. And he talked about Elijah was a man with a nature like ours. Elijah obviously had powers that God gave to him to perform miracles and do things. But and his prayers were answered. I mean, he prayed for no rain, there was no rain. And he said, okay, let's have the rain come back. The rain came back. You say, wow, that's a giant, a spiritual giant. But then that same spiritual giant, when he had Jezebel threaten him, he ran off and he said, let me die. So he ran at a queen's threat and basically holed up in a cave until God was able to bring some food to him by ravens, and also God was able to spare him. So again, did he have passions like we do? Yes. 1 Kings 19:3, and then of course 1 Kings 17:1 and 18:1 show you his approach. He was a man like us. Okay, and then finally, let's go to verses 19 and 20. It says, brethren, if anyone among you wanders from the truth, someone turns him back. Galatians 6, verses 1 and 2. Who is that someone? Galatians 6, verses 1 and 2. Are all of us equipped to turn somebody back? We could be. Galatians 6, verses 1 and 2. Brethren, if a man or a person is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you be tempted. And then verse 2, he says, bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. So how should you approach your brother who has a problem? With a spirit of gentleness. With a spirit of gentleness. You who are spiritual, those of you who have the spiritual wherewithal and the knowledge to be able to do so. And he says in verse 20, let him know that he who turns a sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul or a person or a life from death and cover a multitude of sins. Now, how do you cover a multitude of sins? Well, you're certainly helping him cover his sins. But the commentaries even bring out that if you're willing to do this, God is probably going to be more favorably disposed to cover your sins too, because your attitude is right. So you're turning back someone. You're helping him to turn from his error. And Jude 23 talks about how you can do this. You might want to turn there. Jude verse 23. We'll cover it in detail, but I'll just read it this time. He talks about in verse 22, and on some have compassion, making a distinction, but others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment defiled by the flesh. Some people you can whisper to, you're going the wrong way, and they'll listen to you. Other people you may have to yell at, you're going the wrong way. I am. Some people you may have to grab by the shoulder and pull away. Other people you say, we shouldn't be here. What are we doing here? This is a bad area of town. We shouldn't be here. Some people say, yeah, you're right. Let's go. Other people say, let's go. So again, it depends on the person and the circumstance. But if you do save them from the error of their way, you will help them. And of course, Daniel talks about this in his writings. I believe it's Daniel chapter 11 or 12. 12, I think it is. Yes, Daniel 12 and verse 3. Those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the firmament. Those who turn many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. Hey, if I'm going along this path and you're supposed to be going along this path with me, you start to deviate from this path, I want you to be on the path with me. I don't want you to fall aside. I don't want you to fall away. And so I help you. That's what he's talking about. Of course, Proverbs 10:12 talks about covering a multitude of sins. Love covers, I think it is, Proverbs 10 and verse 12. One final scripture on this point. Proverbs 10 and verse 12, hatred stirs up strife, but love covers all sins. And by you helping them, you keep them from perpetuating their sins. You keep them from continuing in their sins, and you do help cover a multitude of sins because you've helped them pull away, turn away, and hopefully they will repent as well. So those are just some of the thoughts I had. I want to recap the book of James for you. James was the author, written sometime before 62 AD. The theme is faith. The main theme is faith, and religion is a secondary audience are Jewish Christians and all Christians outside of Palestine, and could even include the 12 tribes, although it's likely he did not write to an unconverted audience. He covers six tests of faith. He talks about the response to God's word. That's chapter 1, verses 19 and 27. Remember, we talked about the Bible, the engrafted word, and how we have to be doers and not hearers. The reaction to social troubles having to do with respective persons. We talked about doing good works, faith with works. That's another test of faith. Do you have works along with your intellectual belief? Self-control, chapter 3, controlling the tongue, controlling, having the wisdom to control the tongue. Well, another test of faith is avoiding worldliness, James 4. Where he talks about, you know, you adulterers and adulteresses, don't you know that friendship of the world is enmity with God? And number six, sixth point, this is all in the handout I gave you, praying in time of need. Praying in time of need, we talked about that. James talked about the royal law of liberty, and we talked about his images that he gave. Okay, so enough on that background. I want to also show you, see if there's anything else I wanted to get. Oh, yes, I'm going to go back to the Greek. Just point out some of the Greek words, and you already have on your handout that I had given to you all the scripture recognitions from each of the chapters. But I want to point out some of the Greek words just to go down. We went over, if you have your Greek words. In the book of James, Adelphos was brother. Galatians 1:19, the word for James was a brother of Jesus Christ. The word Adelphos comes from Philadelphia, love of your brother. Ecclesia, and apparently the proper way to pronounce this is ecclesia, which is an assembly or a church. That's found in James 5:14. Doulos is a slave. That's found in James 1:1. Pyrasmos has to do with testing or trials. Dokimion, it talks about being purified, being pure coinage, sterling coinage, James 1, verse 3. Hupomene, which is patience or steadfastness. Teleos, which is perfection. I have the proper verses behind it. Holokleros, which has to do with you are complete and entire. Stephanos, we talked about being a crown. Prautes, which is the word for gentleness. Threskeia was religion. Psukikos was the natural man. Notice psukikos, if you want to say the word for soul in the New Testament, it's psuki, and this is psukikos, because it's a natural man. Irene, which is the word for peace. Elios, which is the word for mercy. Cosmos, which is the word for world. Zelos, which is the word for, zelos rather, is the word for jealous. Catalalia, remember that one? We said slander and gossip. Hamartolos, which means sinners. And then we talked about parousia, epiphaneia, and apocalypsis as being different aspects of the word coming, revealing, appearing. Okay, I think that's enough to give to you now. If you want to, I've got sheets of paper to hand out, so you can just use these as you have your own. If you need a piece of paper just to pull out to do probably about 15 questions, I will give you true and false, multiple choice, and it's closed Bible. If you need a sheet of paper, you can just write on there your name, and in fact, you don't even have to turn it into me. It's for you. Okay, I'm not going to even accept this. Just be for you to see how well you do. But this will be a quiz on the book of James. It's not as thorough as I normally would give, but it's enough of the words, enough of the information, just to see what you actually have picked up in the class. And then I probably won't even get into First Peter today background. Once you finish this, we'll download it, let you see how much you picked up. And it's a good test. And if you're just sitting in class and thinking about what you've been learning, you should be able to pick up a lot. You should be able to get most of these answers. So I'll leave it up to you to determine. Everybody have paper? Anybody not have any paper? Everybody doesn't have to use this. This is not special. The reason the letterhead is here is because it's out of date, because Mr. McCullough is listed as president with Mr. Holliday. That's why it's scrap. You don't need it. You don't have to have it. Anybody in the back row need it? One over here. All right, here, question number one. Because the book of James had to fight to be canonized, it is considered A, proto-canonical, B, deuterocanonical, C, numero-canonical. Because it had a hard fight to get into the New Testament canon, it is called proto-canonical, deuterocanonical, or numero-canonical. So it's going to be either A, proto, B, deutero, C, numero. Which one is it? Question number two. A main overall theme of the book of James is A, faith, B, hope, C, love, D, charity, or E, works. The main overall theme of the book of James is A, faith, B, hope, C, love, D, charity, or E, works. Number three, true or false. James is called a general epistle because it is written to a general audience. True or false? General epistle because it is written to a general audience. That's number three, T or F. Number four, T or F, true or false? James was the only brother of Jesus to accept his divinity while Jesus was still alive. True or false? James was the only brother of Jesus to accept his divinity while Jesus was still alive. True or false? It's number four, true or false. Number five, you have multiple choice. Which James was the pastor of the Jerusalem church? James the son of Zebedee, James the son of Alphaeus, James the less, or none of the above? A, B, C, or D? Which James was the pastor of the Jerusalem church? James the son of Zebedee, that's A. B, James the son of Alphaeus, C, James the less, or D, none of the above? Number six, true or false? True righteous works are demonstrated apart from our faith. True righteous works are demonstrated apart from our faith. True or false? Number seven. Being a respecter of persons is condemned in which chapter? Multiple choice. Chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3, it's multiple choice. Chapter 4, or chapter 5. Which chapter? A, B, C, D, or E? A being 1, B being 2. C being 3, D being 4. Which chapter is being a respecter of persons condemned? I will say no more. Your mind should think of an incident in there that we spent some time on. All right. Number 8. There are two aspects, this is fill in, two aspects of faith. We talked about two aspects of faith, and I'm not looking for faith and works, okay? There are two aspects of faith, though. And we talked about, and there would be acceptable, two answers would be acceptable. There are two ways of expressing these two aspects of real faith. James talks about both of them in the chapter that has it. You have to write the two aspects, yeah. What are the two aspects that this is a fill-in? What are the two aspects of faith? Real faith is this and this. Means this and this. Okay. Number 9, true or false? James tells us that the royal law is fulfilled by loving our neighbor as ourself. James tells us that the royal law is fulfilled by loving our neighbor as ourself. True or false? And if I'm moving fast, it's because I want to make sure I finish this and give you the answer so that those on tape land can get it to you all on the same tape. I don't want to leave them hanging. All right, Number 10. This is multiple choice. The example of the bridled horse James used was to exemplify A, good horsemanship, B, the bridling of the tongue, C, listening more to others, D, getting a job at a stable, or E, Solomon's great wealth. The example of the bridled horse James used was to exemplify good horsemanship, A, B, the bridling of the tongue, C, listening more to others, D, getting a job at a stable, and E, Solomon's great wealth. Number 11, this is also multiple choice. The wisdom from above is found in chapter A, 3, B, chapter 4, C, chapter 2, D, chapter 1, or E, none of the above. Be careful. Yeah, the wisdom that is from above is found in which chapter? Chapter 3, that's A. Chapter 4, that's B. Chapter 2, that's C. Chapter 1, that's D. Or E, none of them. Which means you think it's in 5. Okay, number 12. True or false? There is nothing wrong with discerning between good and evil as long as one doesn't judge the heart. True or false? There's nothing wrong with discerning between good and evil as long as one does not judge the heart. True or false? 3 more questions. 2 of them are true or false, and 1 of them is a chapter. Okay. Number 13, the unpardonable sin, listen carefully, the unpardonable sin is knowing to do good and not doing it. True or false? The unpardonable sin is knowing to do good and not doing it. Number 14, true or false? Respecting an attitude is not the same as respect of persons. Respecting an attitude is not the same as respecting persons. True or false? And the last one, number 15. What is the chapter on the tongue? Is it 1, 2, 3, 4, or 5? Gave you a lot of help on that one. Is it 1, 2, 3, 4, or 5? The chapter on the tongue. What's that? Beg your pardon? Number three, James is called a general epistle because it is written to a general audience. True or false? Okay. If you want to grade your own paper, please do so. Nobody will see your papers and think you're so smart because you all got 100 on it. I know. Okay. Let's go through it. Number one, because the book of James had to fight to be canonized, it is considered proto, deutero, or numero. Deutero, B. Deutero. Not numero, not proto, deutero. Okay. B is the answer. Number two, a main overall theme of the book of James is A, faith. Number three, James is called a general epistle because it's written to a general audience. True. They were written to general audiences. True. Number four, James was the only brother of Jesus to accept his divinity while Jesus was alive. False. None of his brothers accepted him. Not only was he not only the only brother, nobody did. Number five, which James was the pastor of the Jerusalem church? None. None. Which one was it? Jesus Christ's brother.
No, which letter?
Letter D.
Okay.
D. Number six, true righteous works are demonstrated apart from our faith. False. You can have works, but they're your own works. True works, true righteous works always accompany your faith. They're part of your faith. So the answer to number six is false. Number seven, being a respecter of persons is condemned in B, chapter 2. Remember the whole example of somebody comes into your room and comes in tattered clothing and you tell them to sit on the floor. That's chapter 2, verses 1 to about 8 to cover that whole section. Okay, so number seven is B, 2. Number eight, two aspects of faith. I know, I do. Intellectual, active. I know, I do. Intellectual, active. Okay, number nine. James tells us that the royal law is fulfilled by loving our neighbor as ourself. True. James tells us. Fulfill. We would say fulfill the royal law by obeying God and all that. But he says, you fulfill the royal law if you do this. And he did it in regard to chapter 2. All right, number 10, the example of the bridled horse. And if anybody misses this one, you get a kick in the seat of the pants. Okay, the example of the bridled horse, and my TAs, they've made these up and I approved them. I like throwing one in that's almost a gift so everybody doesn't get zero on the test, okay? So anyway, this is a gift one. The example of a bridled horse James used to exemplify the bridling of the tongue. B. B. Not listening more to others, not getting a job at a stable, not good horsemanship, okay? Number 11, although Callie probably put that one down to good horsemanship. She did. She likes horses. Okay, number 11. The wisdom from above is found in A, chapter 3. End of chapter 3. A is the answer to number 11. Number 12, true or false, there's nothing wrong with discerning between good and evil as long as you don't judge one's heart. True. In fact, you should discern between good and evil regularly. But it doesn't mean you condemn others in whom you may see evil actions. You just learn what's good and what's right. And if you notice what's good or what's right, that's fine. All right, number 13. The unpardonable sin is knowing to do good and doing it not. False. Remember, we spent lots of time on that, saying lots of people who sin know that what they're doing. They do it through temptation or weakness. Just knowing isn't enough, but remember what the unpardonable sin is, setting your will to sin. Okay, number 14, respecting an attitude is not the same as respect of persons. True. God respects your attitude. God is a respecter of attitude. God will favor and bless the person who has a repentant attitude over a person who does not. That doesn't mean he's a respecter of persons. A respecter of persons means you're big, I won't give you any help, but you're more shapely, I'll give you help. That is wrong. Okay, and number 15, the chapter on the tongue. Always guess the middle one. 3. 1, 2, 3. three, four, five. Most of the time you take a test, if you don't know which one to guess, always guess C, or the third one. You'll find most people, I don't want to give them the answer the first one. I don't give them the answer the second. Okay, I'll put it in the third one, then the four and five. All right. The type of tests I don't like, and I refuse to have do it, is where there's more than one answer that's right, unless I tell you there are more than one answer in here that's right. Okay, I hate to even ask. I won't embarrass you. How many made between 12 and 15? How many made between 10 and 15? How many made between 8 and 10? Okay. How many made, I won't even ask. Who made below 8? I won't ask. It's just for your knowledge. It's not for me. It's for you. Things you should pick up. There are a lot more on here we could do.
At what score do you revoke baptism?
At what score I revoke baptism? 3. You made 3 or less, I'm revoking your baptism. No, I'm teasing you. That's fine. Okay, you have a hand, and I also gave a handout to you. I think you all got this in Above All Things. Did everybody get an Above All Things? I just gave that to you so you could have it. Places Above All Things is mentioned. And you have the handout on 1 Peter, so I won't have to go through the background so thoroughly next time, but you can just read that. Wish you a wonderful day today. Don't say I don't let you out early. Wish you a wonderful day today. Have a great one, and hope your afternoon is spent profitably and spent wonderfully. And I'll see you Sunday, and I'll see you Monday morning.